All right, I'm gonna forego the mic. Gifolubang, that is praise God in Acholi language. So I'm gonna invite my wife up here. You've probably seen us wear some weird attire. We were in Uganda about 2 weeks ago. We were there for 2 weeks actually. And this is what they wear traditionally. So we got a couple's matchy-matchy. But we bring greetings from the Richmond Great Chinese Baptist Church. We are excited to be here. We are excited that your new school year has started. And so you'll probably see more of us coming here every month. And Pastor Daniel and Aunt Shimu, unfortunately, is not here today. And so we want to lift them up in prayers as well. Thank you for our worship team and AV team. All right. So we're actually going to share what we saw God do in Uganda while we were there on the mission trip. So we had from our church about 7 people that were on that mission trip, and we have 5 other people from an organization called Hope Alive Africa. We won't talk much about Hope Alive, but Bianca and Matt, they're actually from Hope Alive and they're members of our church. They'll be here in a couple of months to talk about Hope Alive and encourage all of you to join them in partnership. But we went with Hope Alive, so there was about 12 of us, went to Uganda to serve the people of Uganda. And so as we were there, I think one of the biggest thing that struck me was the joy that the Ugandans have. It's a type of joy that I personally never experienced before or have witnessed in America. And so we're very excited today to just talk about how God has made a very deep impact in the life of the Ugandans, as well as the type of joy that we see them despite their very difficult situations. So we're going to be in Psalms 34 today, verse 1 to 3. And the idea here is just rejoicing, join the Lord, and the different forms that that would take as we look through Psalms 34. So this is Psalm 34. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Verse 3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And so the sense that we get from this psalm is there's a constant sense of rejoicing, a constant sense of boasting in the Lord, a constant sense of just being in the presence of the Lord and just being so joyous. And this is the author in the Psalms conveying the message that when we are in the presence of the Lord, we can't help but rejoice because of who God is and the work that he has done for us. So the first verse, if you see down there, is it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. So the idea for this first verse is that we are to bless the Lord at all times. And we're going to share some testimonies around how we witnessed that in Uganda. The idea of the first verse is that the psalmist commits to praising God continually, not just in good times, but at all times. And I think that's something that we can learn from the psalmist, right? There are many times where I just don't feel like praising God because nothing is going well in my life. And I have a difficult time trying to praise God. But this verse tells us that we are to rejoice and praise him at all times. It says showing persistent joy despite our circumstances. You know, and that's one of the promises that God gives you is despite the brokenness of the world, despite the brokenness of relationship between spouses or between people, despite our brokenness with our relationship with God, God tells us that when Christ comes to reconcile that, to fix what is broken, we can have joy in the Lord despite our circumstance. And that's one of the promises that God gives us. Join the Lord is a constant posture. Ongoing thankfulness nourishes deep joy. And if you find yourself, you know, having a lack of joy these days, or you have find yourself in places where you can't find anything to thank God for, you know, try just praising God. Whether you sing through the Psalms or you're reading scripture, I think singing through the Psalms is a great way to be able to experience that joy, because the psalmists are singing through times where they're happy and joyful, and times when they're being pursued and being murdered, times when they're deep in the valley, but yet they can praise God. And so I would encourage you to read through the Psalms and say, how could these authors praise God despite their circumstances? So the first thing we want to show is this, and I'll let Winnie do some of the introduction to what we're going to watch.
Hi, so good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Winnie, Carter's wife and Eliza's mom. Maybe some of you know Aiden, who graduated from UVA. This is my first international mission trip. And before I went, I did a little bit of a research of Uganda. I understood the geography of the country is kind of east of Africa. It's got a lot of great water resources. It's right above the equator. All year round, the temperature is like 60 to 80. Absolutely, when I went, it indeed is a beautiful country. It's actually named as the Pearl of Africa. I also realized that the country has been going through a lot of political turmoil. In fact, they just ended a civil war about, in the early 2000s. The site we were in, in fact, was a refugee camp back then in the days when some of the family would seek a place to escape war. I'm sure some of you may have heard about child soldiers and, if they're trying to escape from that kind of situation. So there's still a lot of the pain and rebuild that's going on in the places, the site that we went to. So Hope Alive is a children's sponsorship program. So I was there, Carter will talk more about his leadership conference, but I was with seven other adults who would teach at this youth camp. It's a week-long youth camp teaching children from first grade to 12th grade. So it's not just, in our sense, kind of the middle school, high school age group. I was very much went with the mentality that I'm going to go and make a difference. I'm going to teach them something about the Bible in the morning. In the afternoon, there are going to be science and science projects. Teach them to love. Oh, can you all hear me? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's for recording.
Oh, okay. Okay. Really? There's online stuff. Okay. And arts and craft, right? But very much when I went there, I was very shocked. I truly, it was a life-changing journey, a mission trip, and it very much changed. God taught me a lot through this. Very much in this theme of joy and rejoicing in all times. So I want to show this clip of a praise and worship time. Thank you.
Actually, it's a little difficult to watch. That makes me really miss them and kind of just the great joy that they have. And this is constant. It's not just a show that they put on to welcome us. This is how they praise and worship every single day. And some observation, right? So all of the kids have short hair. You're not allowed to have long hair in school. So the way to differentiate girls and boys are, girls are all wearing, thank you so much. Oh, this is from China. So girls wear skirt. And I don't know if you could tell, but their clothes, most of them don't fit. They're torn, and they usually wear the exact same clothes to come every day. And the shoes are also almost not there. It's very dirty and torn and broken. In fact, they had to walk to this camp, even the littlest, the smallest kids, they had to walk dirt roads, very polluted. It could be very dangerous. There's boda, so little scooters and running wild, right? The traffic is not here, like here, orderly, but there are no lanes. So they have to walk on average 3 miles to come to camp. But every day they will show up and very, very joyful. When we drive on the road, we regularly see people carrying heavy things. Women would carry things on top of their head, water, and young kids would carry a smaller jug of water. So plumbing is not there. Electricity is not reliable, sometimes not available. But that's the circumstances. That's the situation they're in. And Hope Alive would care for the neediest of needy because their application process. Unfortunately, they sometimes have to turn people away because of sponsorship is coming from the U.S. But a lot of these kids don't have parents, and they live with their grandparents or not at all, or a single mom raising many kids. And so even when they, as I said, education is a way for them to escape poverty, possibly. Some of the kids were telling me even when they graduate university, it's not guaranteed. In fact, it's still very, very difficult for them to get a job. And in some of my conversation, the high school kids were telling me how much they're worrying about the upcoming election in February. And when the possibility of a war, if the results is not necessarily according to the current president, who is a dictator. So the fact that at such a young age, right, going to school, yet they have to worry about that kind of stuff, is really heartbroken. But day two, when we were studying, so every day in the morning, we study some truth about the Bible. The first day is about sufficiency of the Bible. Day two is about poetry, so Psalms in the Bible. Day three was stories. Day four was wisdom, books, and epistles, so letters in the Bible. Day two, when we studied Psalms 1, when I had my small group. By the way, I've been working with the youth at our church since 2002. So you could say I have 23 years of experience working with teenagers. But indeed my small group was with the teenagers this time, so sixth grade and up. When I asked them what this imagery of Psalm 1, for those who are familiar with it, is talking about the righteous man is like a tree planted next to the stream, so year-round, right, is blooming and is bearing fruit in seasons. So I asked them what that meant, and this young man just looked at me and said, it means the righteous person will lack nothing in the Lord. And he will truly satisfy everything in our life. And when he said that, and knowing and seeing the situation there, I was just so stunned at the pure faith and trust that they have in the Lord and in the Bible. And I felt my faith was so shallow in comparison to that. I had no words to respond to that. And he's just, do I really believe that the Bible is 100% sufficient for all aspects in life? And that in their situation, that is exactly what they believe. And through their worship, that's what they demonstrate where their love is from. Yeah.
So you might be thinking, well, that's just the kids who are rowdy. In our church, we force our children to do like hand motions, you know, when they do worship songs, right? But the adults are also like that. So I want to show you two very quick videos. Like Winnie said, she was part of the youth conference, and these are in two different sites. So they were with the youth the whole week, and I was with the adults the whole week. There were three people from our team that taught during the adult leadership conference. So we were teaching theology, doctrine of salvation, and also the application of gospel in daily life. So I was in the other one, and I want to show you, because I don't think I've ever seen adults worship like this in the U.S., okay? We're going to see if we can change the DNA of our church, Grace Chinese. But this is the adults. So there's this one and that one. This is Matt. He's from our church. So you'll see him and Bianca in a few months. They'll come here to talk about Hope Alive. But this is the leadership conference, okay? So leadership conference are the pastors, the church leaders, and then Hope Alive staff. So I want to show you this one. This is one of the pastors. His name is Dennis. You can't really tell from here, but everyone is like moving a lot. And then this is the one where this is like another day. Before each session, they would just go up and just start praising people. And it's not like there's allocated, you know, worship people playing up here. They just have a bunch of instruments on the floor. And when it's worship time, whoever wants to take an instrument, they just go grab it and just start playing. And everyone just starts singing. It was amazing to kind of
spontaneous.
See that. Very spontaneous, very joyful. Everyone's just like, let's just sing to the Lord. That's their traditional string instrument. You hear like the screaming at the back. Like they do that spontaneously. And they have like different styles. Like some pastor will go like this in the dance. Others will go like this. Others will go like, there's just like so many different ways. They're just spontaneously using their body to worship God. No judgment, so I want to get fall volunteers later. We're going to go in the back and start doing the crazy things. But you just see so much joy. Ooh. And this was during the conference, okay, when we didn't really know them personally yet. We just knew them as an attendee of the conference. But later, we're going to talk a little bit. When we do like home visits, you see their daily lives. And it kind of blew my mind how they could continuously be praising God when their life situation isn't that great, you know. And so for me, it was a lesson on, if the Ugandans can demonstrate consistent joy in their lives despite their situations, you know, how much more can I learn from them in praising and worshiping God and experiencing the kind of joy that I witnessed in Uganda. So for me, it was a very personal time of growth as well. So this would be one of the applications is, you know, how can you cultivate a habit of praising God continually? I don't know about you guys, but my mom, she praised God like everywhere. So even when we're driving and she sees a parking lot, she gets it. She's like, oh, praise God, you gave me a parking lot. You know, she's just like that, my mom. And so, you know, she's a model that I try to mimic just because she demonstrates that kind of joy. And so the more we are thankful to God, the more joy we experience. And it's true, because as we praise God, as we acknowledge the things that he has done in our lives, through Christ things today and what he will do in the future, you know, we can't help but praise him. And so I pray that as we look through the Psalms and hear some of the testimonies from the Ugandan churches, that we can learn from them. Okay, so the second verse is boasting in the Lord, not in riches. And the verse 2 says, my soul will boast in the Lord, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. All right, this is saying, even when you're in times of affliction, meaning you're going through suffering, or people are persecuting you because of your faith. I mean, you guys saw in the news, you know, the assassination of Charlie Clark, and you see how, like, during times of affliction, people can still be praising God of how, you know, now he's with the Lord. And praise God for the things that he has done in sharing the word of Christ with others. And so you see, even in the worst of situations, that we can still praise the Lord. So our soul finds its boast in God alone. And that really is, if our focus is on God and not things that he gives us, or the situations of our lives, not in possessions, not in power, not in our situations, then this invites those who are afflicted or poor in spirit, right? I don't know your personal circumstances, what you're going through, but this allows God to invite you to hear and find goodness in him, and showing that joy is accessible to all, regardless of your circumstance. So when we go up to people and we say, the joy of the Lord can be in your heart, it's not a lie. It is a promise from God. And so I pray that you also hold on to that promise in your life, because the gospel is good news, that our life now is renewed through Christ, right? All the brokenness that we experience, we may have experienced it alone, where we found our lives to be hopeless, but now that we're transformed in Christ, that we have the hope that is in Christ, and the Holy Spirit now that gives us different gifts, right? And it lets us be transformed into a new life. The promises of God in terms of joy is something that a Christian can experience very supernaturally. We've seen people in our lives that are going through valleys, but yet they can praise God. And so you wonder, like, how is that possible? And scripture tells us that it is, because it is the Spirit that's giving you joy. So we want to share a couple of testimonies. So Winnie's going to go first with this girl.
This is Lisa. She's 14. She's in my group. She's really quiet and shy. There's another boy, I don't have his picture here, his name is Ronnie. He's a freshman in high school. And one day, after we did the story of Joseph, the adult leader, Auntie Carol, she's the country manager, was on our trip helping us as well. She approached me during lunchtime and she said, Winnie, I know you were leading the study, and some of these kids were so quiet, and even when you called on their name, they didn't answer your questions. I just want to let you know that Lisa just lost his father to suicide last year, and Ronnie's dad passed away from snake bites 2 weeks ago. And these kids are going through some intense pain and real hardship in their life. So they're grieving, and that's the reason why they're not necessarily answering your question. This is not a reflection of whatever. So I from just high level knowing their situation to, like, actually deeply knowing their personal story, that was really, you know, kind of hard for me to hear. And later there was also a story or a prayer sharing. One of the girls, Sheila, her prayer was for God to take away the deepest pain in her heart. So she did not tell me what exactly happened. And I just felt like I didn't know what to say to these kids. I personally have, most of my parents are 87. They're still living. I have not experienced this kind of loss or actually difficulties in life. But our God, our Lord Jesus, is not like that, okay? He's not a God who sits on the throne in the distance and looking at us. He took the form of man and came down and firsthand experienced our pain and to the extreme of dying on the cross through the most painful death. So he can sympathize all of our situation. And for us, what I need to do is not to give the smartest answer or the best things, but to model Christ's love just by sitting with these kids and sitting with your friends and being there for them and being available. And that is modeling God's love. And so, you know, I cannot tell you what her voice sounds like or Ronnie. I did not get to talk to any of them at all. But, you know, they long for love. Because I could catch her looking at me shyly, and when we have eye contact, she would smile at me and look away. So I made a conscious, just like motion to every time, like if we take a picture, I'll be like, hey, Lisa, come and stand next to me. And she would come stand with me. And so I want to let her know she's seen, she's loved, she's included. And we would take pictures. She would smile in the picture. She would see us taking picture. She would not approach us, right? And I would actually tell her to come. So that kind of stuff, right? Like the fact that they consistently come and they are adults and they're Hope Alive and they're this mentor concept at Hope Alive that would provide, and you know, this level of being there with them, having the presence and loving them, I think is really the best way to instill hope while they're going through suffering, affliction, just like what Carter said. Here's us bringing the Lord and bringing the joy, the best medicine in the world. So that's my story.
Like you couldn't tell from their faces. There are just so much smiles and laughter. Even the adults are like that. Like you just see them smiling all the time. And that's why it kind of blew me away that they have so much joy in the Lord. So on my side, we did some home visits afterwards. So we visited some leaders. Winnie, they visited some of the youth family side. And then I visited some of the leaders. So this first picture, that's Jacob. We went to his house. And yes, that's what they live in. Like it's a mud kind of wall, like a circle, and then just like grass up top. I thought like that was a storage shed or something, but that's what they live in. And so when we went to visit Jacob is one of the deacons at a church. You can't really tell, but this part of his face is messed up, like it's kind of shrunken in. And the reason is because Winnie mentioned like a lot of wars that were happening in Uganda. And so he said when he was a teenager, the war was going on, and he ran into the jungle to like escape the killing and murdering and recruiting of child soldiers. And so he said he spent, I think he said it was a week or two in the jungle just by himself. And then during that time, his face got messed up, and it was a miracle that he even survived. And so you look at him and then you can't tell, but this brother doesn't have an arm. And so it kind of got, he lost it during the war. And so you look, when you visit their family, you're like, there's no way they can have joy. But when we visit them, they're smiling, they're laughing, they're sharing God's word with us. It kind of blew my mind, being in the presence of people that have gone through so much trauma and so much hardship, but yet the words that come out of their mouth is praising the Lord. And then they ask, like, all the home visits we went to, they would ask us to share God's word with them. And so it kind of blew my mind that I don't know how many times we gather and people say, share the word of God with us. Like it kind of almost never happens. But as we were visiting these different places, that's what they asked for. It's like, share the word of God with us. We want to hear what God has placed in your heart to tell us. This other one, this is Margaret. She is one of the leaders in a church as well. So we went into her house because it was raining. And so this is me and Mike's our team leader. We were sitting in there and she had invited all the neighbors around her. So like when they have their huts, it's like a clump of huts, you know, of just a bunch of people staying together. So they all kind of came and they sat there with their kids and they said, Pastor Carter, will you share the word of God with us? You know, and they're smiling and they're laughing, and we did some spontaneous worship. I don't think you can see him. I think he was sitting outside, but he was like their church choir master. So we asked him, hey, can you get us going on a worship song? And everyone in the hut just started singing praise and worship. It really blew my mind. So this is the application for the second verse, is boasting in the Lord strengthens faith and invites others to find joy in God's provision and presence. So I would challenge each one of us to commit to a daily habit of boasting in the Lord. You know, is that part of something you do? Maybe it's not. Well, maybe start with one boasting of the Lord, and get going from there. You know, I believe that when we boast in the Lord, that you will receive supernatural joy from Him. So let's all, you know, commit to doing that. I want to experience joy, don't you? So here's the last verse, verse 3, glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. And so the idea in verse 3 is that we magnify the Lord together. Although salvation in the Lord is a personal journey, yes, you have to make that personal commitment to follow Jesus. But once you're in the family of God, it is a communal experience, right? Like when we went to Uganda, each one of those Ugandans that have a relationship with Christ is my brother and sister in Christ. And so worship is both personal and communal. Rejoicing in the Lord is a shared experience, right? We have personal meditation, we got personal devotion, but it's also very communal. It's a shared experience like today that brings encouragement, unity, and strength to this community of faith. So our rejoicing collectively as a community becomes a testimony to others, right? That God alone is worthy of praise and the source of unwavering joy. So when we gather together, you know, when we were going around in Uganda, people would ask, like, so the white people, Ugandans call the white people Mizungus. And they're like, what's up with all these Mizungus, you know, walking around? And so we'll tell them we're here to worship with our brothers and sisters in Uganda. We're here to share God together, and it became a testimony that even though we have different skin colors, but our unity is in Christ Jesus. So we have some testimony I want to share as well.
Yes, so this concept of community, I mean, I firsthand experienced that from the very first day we arrived, the kids just swarmed, like rushed over to us. The girls would, you know, kind of curtsy and hold our hands, and the guys would shake hands with us. And as we became more familiar with them, the days went on. Whenever we arrived, they would literally just run like football tackle against us, right? Throwing themselves at us and giving us really warm hugs. And so I felt very loved from the very first day and was received and welcomed into that community. So that was a great joy, and I didn't feel any like, oh my goodness, they're different, or do they know me, or how do I, you know, any of that. So praise God for that. Okay, this is Walter. He's writing stuff. Okay, so I told you guys I taught day four. Maybe I didn't. Day four, I taught day four wisdom books and letters. So in July, youth group at Living Hope in Richmond, I had the youth group writing letters to the Uganda kids. I said, hey, introduce yourself, write a letter, talk about who you are and what you think wisdom is. So there were a bunch of letters, maybe about 20. So during my teaching, I invited some of the kids up to read these letters, and that just gives such a great joy to the kids there. They were so excited that people in the U.S. and the Asian kids were like writing to them and tell them about who they are and what they think wisdom is. And some drew little cute, you know, cartoon-ish looking things. And
they absolutely loved the letter. Even though we read only a couple, we made all 20 or so available for them to read, and they're now in their library. They're keeping them. And I didn't ask for anything, but they decided that they would write letters back. So they would use their breaks and lunchtime or whatever and writing letters. Some were more generic, just to the youth at our Living Hope Church. Others, and if some of the name like letters touched them, I guess they would write directly. So they wrote to Pierce and Sean Shelton, and so what Walter is doing here. By the way, Walter is wearing like a soccer jersey. He loves playing soccer, football. Okay, over there, and so every day he's wearing this same soccer jersey, and whenever there's opportunity, he's kicking the ball. And but after he found out about these letters, he's like sitting down and writing the letter back to our kids, and every break he could find, right? Not playing his ball. And in fact, during this time, he almost missed lunch because he's this version of his letter, he was not happy with it, because the handwriting was messy, or maybe the paper was not very clean. So he's copying it, you know, like diligently making his handwriting very, very clear and nice. So he almost misses lunch. For them to miss lunch, that means they're going to go hungry for the rest of the day, you know. So it's just absolutely heartwarming how the two communities, because of God, could come together and connect together. So I would encourage you all to also think about connection and welcoming people, receiving people. This is the beginning of the year. You might be new. Maybe this is your first year, or you might have been here for a while. But welcome others, right? Don't be generous with your hospitality. Don't be shy about, oh, how are they going to think about me? How am I going to present? In the Lord, we're all brothers and sisters, and share His love generously.
Yeah, that's I think that is the blessing of being a child of God, is that no matter where you go, there are always people of God. You guys know Aiden, right? He was with this church till he graduated in summer. So now he's working up in Fairfax, D.C., and he's already going to churches. And, you know, I think just knowing that our son is there, he's not alone, that there are children of God or people of God there, really is a sense of just comfort for us. And so I think with this one, it shows it to the extreme of, like, even in Uganda and in the U.S., worshiping the Lord is a community thing.
Amen.
So this is some of the leaders from the leader conference that I was here. That's me. I look very serious, and none of them look very serious. They're never serious. They're just very lighthearted, very childlike, you know. And they know that there are churches in the U.S. that pray for them, that support them. And just them knowing that the people of God are in another part of the world, that's loving them, that's supporting them, like all these Bibles that they held up were gift Bibles that churches raised money for. To give to these pastors so that they can prepare sermons, they can do discipleships. That Bible over there, it's like a month's rent in Uganda. So one Bible could pay for their 1 month's rent. That's how, you know, precious that gift is. And it was kind of funny because we spent, you know, a whole week with them. And at the end of the conference, there was a time of testimony. And some of the pastors stood up and said, Pastor Carter is the first Chinese I've ever met. Interactively. Like, meeting Chinese was a big deal there. I felt like a superstar. Because they're used to seeing white people, right? So Mizungus, they're like, okay, Mizungus is nothing special. But a Chinese person, they're rare. So I don't have pictures of this, but after this, like, all of them wanted to take one-on-one pictures of me because they were like, oh, that's the Chinese pastor that we want to take pictures with. So it was nice being a celebrity for a little bit there. So if you guys want to go to Uganda with us, I'm sure next year we're going to get another team going.
Yeah, we would love to take you.
Yeah, you guys can go. It's quite an experience. Mm-hmm. We've been on a lot of mission trips, but this one was very different. Mm-hmm. So praise God. So the application from this idea of communal worship is that there is power and encouragement found in collective worship and rejoicing. Right, so you guys are here in this church for this season for a reason. So God put you together. So use this community to build each other up. You know, don't just come on a Sunday and then say, I'll see you next Sunday. Okay? And then not have anything to do with each other through the week. That's not what God community is supposed to be. Make sure you guys are checking in on each other during the week and encouraging each other. So commit to building this culture in your faith community. If you feel like this church isn't doing that, then be the change agent. You know, start something in this church.
Yeah.
If your church is already doing that, then great. Pull in more people so that you can level up that culture of collective worship and rejoicing in this church. So that would be our challenge to all of you, myself and Winnie included, is to build this type of culture in our church. All right, so that's what we have for you today. Any closing comments, Winnie? No? So if you guys, like I said, Matt and Bianca is going to be here in a couple months to talk about Hope Alive, the organization. So they're going to talk a little bit more what they do and then how you can partner as individuals and as a church. And also next year, I'm pretty sure we're going to go again. So we'll extend an invitation to you guys. And you know, if you want to be praying for this over the next couple months, just kind of pray about it. And when the invitation comes, just let us know if you want to participate. All right. We have about 5 minutes. And I think Winnie has suggested maybe doing like a Q&A. So if there's anything here that you have a question about or curiosity, this is the time to ask this question. And we'll be glad to answer.
You can ask anything. Like toilet situations. Do you guys want to know?
Language. So most of them can speak English, but the native dialect there is Acholi. So when I came up here and I said Gifo Lubang, that means pray the Lord in Acholi. And
Afoyom Atak means thank you very much. Yeah. But official language of Uganda is English. Yeah. They were the colony until 1960, something like that.
They speak it with a very heavy African accent. So when you watch videos of African people talking in English, that's how they speak. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to say there Christianity is like 75%, and then the next big one is Muslim. But our driver is actually a Muslim. So at first he was kind of standoffish, or maybe he was shy. He like didn't talk to us that much. And toward the end of the trip, I think he really opened up, and then we started talking about things. And So it's majority Christian. Yeah.
So where we were was about 7 hours northwest of the capital, Kampala. In that region, most of the challenges that the pastors and the church leader had were around like witchcraft, because most of them there are like, they practice like animal tribalism, witchcraft, like that kind of stuff. So
that's the third.
So the pastors were sharing like how they're trying to evangelize the community, and they would go into like a witch hut. And then the witch would like do some crazy stuff, and then they're all freaking out. And in fact, a lot of the questions the pastors were asking were around demonic possession. So they had a lot of questions about demonology, just because the area they were in, like that's a lot of what they were doing and had to deal with.
Hmm.
So they were asking questions like, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? You know, so if I'm a pastor going into a witch hut trying to evangelize her, like, and she like cursed me with a demon or something, you know, will I get possessed? And so a lot of those questions were like that. So maybe as a nation, it's a lot of Christians, but at least the area that we were in, I did not get that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for sharing. It's very encouraging. I have a question. So I'm just thinking, I'm just wondering, what other ways you guys can be sure the lasting effects or constant support?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About Hope Alive and the kids.
So this is why we are so blessed to go with this team, the nonprofit called Hope Alive. They have a local organization. In fact, the board in the U.S., nobody's paid. Even their executive director is not paid. So all the sponsorship, all the fundraising, all everything is going locally there. So the house you saw with the praise and worship, that's their property. Like all the money would be there to have, you have the local people who are actually there caring for the kids. They have this Saturday club that they run every Saturday. Kids would come together and study the Bible and, you know, doing different things. And Sunday they have church there and they're opening new side. In fact, Sunday we visited, when we were there, we visited a brand new site. They just opened up. Is in an even more rural area. Our car couldn't even go in, and we have to actually track the dirt, muddy road to get to the church. But it's the kind of thing that we're so passionate about, that local Hope Alive board and organization, they have the country manager, site manager, and all those people who are working there in the community itself, emphasizing on education and mentorship and keeping the family prosper. Yeah.
So Hope Alive has about 4 or 5 sites. We went to 2 of them, and so they have local staff that take care of the kids. They're always teaching biblical theology, and then working with the families. They also work with local churches. In fact, like Winnie said, several churches are meeting on their location of Hope Alive. They also work with schools. Sometimes the schools will recommend some children that they can kind of sponsor. Yeah. So it's a very sustainable model for the adults. So like we do like leadership conferences. We have relationship with the leaders there. So whenever a team from the U.S. goes, they'll do these conferences to help the pastors. And then they'll give them like Bibles to help them. And then they're connecting them to like seminaries to help the pastors get theological education. So I was actually very shocked at how sustainable of a model they have. Because, you know, what you were insinuating, sometimes when you do mission trips, you go for a week, you leave, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case with this group.
Yeah. In fact, we're currently doing a book drive, right, for, again, literacy. So it's English gently used, first to, I think, 7th grade reading level books. We're collecting them by September 28th, and then we're going to ship like boxes and boxes of books there. So it's all ongoing. Yeah. Great question.
Thank you.